Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for the challenge? In the season's worst conditions, winter tires are a game changer. They elevate traction, control, and confidence. They sell only the best, like the full line of Hankook tires. Go to TireRack.com/sports. Tell them what you drive. Your tires will ship fast and free to your one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The secret to catching prize-worthy fish? Fishing like a local. Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. The valuable knowledge of a local guide can turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day. Go to fishingbooker.com to discover thousands of local fishing charters from all around the world and create your perfect angling adventure with their easy-to-use online booking system. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker. Fishing trips made easy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
You know, it's Wednesday, LeVar. I don't know if you know what that means or not.
Oh, yes, I do.
Hey, 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 hey. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Yeah, we are fired up about it.
Hey, hey Brady, that's my Jonas voice, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jonas Knox here.
There's a spot on the network that plays in which I pop on, and the volume is way too high.
Yeah, he was very, very excited to do this.
And it
spot.
Sounds, hey.
Yeah, oh, it was like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, just like, it's just very.
Jonas has a nice range of voices.
He
though.
Does. He can
he
go really,
really
deep, but he can go really high with it.
Hey!
He can do the, hey, LeVar, he can hit that falsetto.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's hear it.
When he needed to back in the day,
that's
he can hit that falsetto.
I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know. I might be a little too early for that that here. But,
okay. Yeah.
They said he used to do telemarketing with that voice, too, you know, late night.
Oh, Jonas, you have to have some stories from that.
Guy 7, you know what I mean?
Stories from telemarketing.
I'll tell you a story.
There was a company I worked for. We sold ink and ribbon supplies, and
I thought y'all sold fantasies.
Well, no, there's that too. That's hour three.
Hey, LeVar set you up, dude. Yeah. LeVar set you up right into that.
That is hour three. So we were working for a company selling ink and ribbon supplies, and a guy that I worked with used a fake name, and the name that he used was Jake Danzig because his favorite band was Danzig. And there was no purpose of it. It made no sense. He just thought it was funny. And so this guy called up a company trying to sell him ink and ribbon supplies on a call list.
And
he says, you know, I got those ink and toner for you. Get those shipped out right away. No problem. Get the right. And the guy's like, who's this? And the guy says, John, because for whatever reason he used a different name than his fake name, and he goes, John who? And he couldn't think of an answer because he was already in the lie, so he just said John Denver.
And
the guy on the other end goes, this is Merle Haggard, we're not interested, and hung up on it. So great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's you will meet a lot of alcoholics in that business, by the way. A lot of them. They will
real
get after
quick
it
to
a
cap
bit.
This off. Doesn't ink sell itself? Like,
yes.
If you're out of ink, You just go get more ink or order ink.
Yeah, like, it's a tough business.
Now, the ribbon part is a little shaky. I don't know. How did I come up with ink and ribbons? I mean,
I got fired.
That's a great point. You know, what makes those go together?
It's a weird combination.
I got fired from an ink and toner company because they went through my search history and saw I was applying for radio jobs while I was on the clock.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So
oh,
that.
Yeah. I'm sure that's why they fired
I swear
you.
To God. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Listen. No,
hey,
look.
Kid, you know what? We realize that you want to better yourself and go find another job elsewhere. We looked at your search history. Yeah. We're going to fire you.
And
I'm sure that was the conversation.
We got complaints. Yeah. So the cubicle right, behind pal. You says you keep looking for change in your front pocket.
Too
much
change. You're looking for that eight ball to go into the corner pocket. too much pocket
it was,
pool.
It was hey, the huh? it was the radio websites that got you fired.
Try 3.5 ball.
Not all the other websites you're looking at.
I was going to say.
What a lie.
What is
what
wrong with you,
the real 3.25 ball. All right, so here we go. Are we on the air yet, by the way? Have we started the show? All right, so here we go, guys. Let's start in the NFL. We were going to start in the NBA, but we care about listeners. So we decided, all right, we want to keep the ratings up. So we started the NFL. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. They're called the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people up in the Western Pennsylvania area call them the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got a little bit of an issue. Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with some sort of an injury. His status is unknown. Here was his head coach yesterday talking about Big Ben.
We have some new injuries to contend with. Ben has a pec injury of some kind on his left pec that could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have an idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
Well, I mean, the good thing is that the offense can't get much worse. So I guess there's that.
There's you know, that.
To go along with all this. So, yeah, this one.
Hey, LeVar, have you ever hurt your pec?
No, I haven't, actually. I mean, maybe I've come close. Maybe I had situations where it could have happened. But, no, I've never had it. Yeah.
I've never had it. The only thing I'm thinking in my back of my mind is if he got hit and landed awkwardly on the football or something as he's getting hit or going down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the only thing that can come to mind. And it's his left pec, so it really shouldn't impact his throwing motion that much. I mean, even your off-arm shoulder might, but not your pec.
I mean, it's more of a D lineman, offensive lineman, like when you're engaged on a tackle or engaged. Like that's
it's more of a weight room injury.
Yeah,
a weight room injury, yeah, or different room injury, but not football.
Hold on a
injury.
Second. What do you mean? Are you saying Ben Roethlisberger wasn't in the weight room? Is that what you're trying to get out of bar?
I don't know.
I mean, that's your boyhood team.
I don't know what that guy does on his time. I don't know. I'm just saying, left pec, like that's again, like Brady said, I think that's one of those things where it either could have came from a hit, or maybe in the weight room, or maybe somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
So we don't know if he's going to, whether or not he's going to be available. This feels
are we being
like,
serious?
Okay.
We really don't think he's going to try to play.
Well, look.
By the way, this could be his last year.
Right. Yeah, of course.
It probably is.
But I think, you know, Roethlisberger, he doesn't like to make much of his injuries. So
I'll put it this way. If they're trying to figure out pregame whether or not he can go, good luck. Because every time we ever went up and played the Steelers. Whether I was in Cleveland or Kansas City or and whatever the team, opposing team want to talk about, Ben Roethlisberger, Denver, he would almost never come out before the official warm-ups. Like, and LeVar, you know how this goes. They test everyone out who's, like, questionable to play in the game
right
before the official warm-up goes just to see if they can go or not. They'll test them out a little bit.
Yep.
And usually you'll see quarterbacks, wide receivers out there before.
Anyway.
Throwing. Yeah, yeah they'll be out there anyway doing a routine, throwing and all that.
No.
I never in my life ever saw Ben Roethlisberger out there for like the pre-game routine. Like he was never. In fact, I saw one time it was cold, it was rainy. He was coming out in like a parka. And he just walked out, maybe got 20 feet from the tunnel, and then just turned around and went back inside. Like, he thought about it, but didn't want to do it. He's never been that. So I have no idea how they're going to test him out, because it would go completely against his pre-game routine, which he doesn't really do.
Yeah, I think the way – Tomlin and his staff handles things, they'll make sure they're in a good spot with it before they get to game day. Now, if it's one of those last-minute situations where you got to test it out before the game to see, I would assume that they already had their contingency plan ready to go anyway, and that's what it sounds like Coach Tomlin alluded to in his soundbites. So, you know, to me, this is one of those things where they're coming off of a tough loss against the Raiders, and Ben is trying to really solidify his career. I think that's the reason why he took the pay cut, the reason why he came back, is there's something left that he wants to prove. I would say it's a long shot, unless it's a serious injury to him, that he would actually miss a game following a loss and following a loss at home, knowing that, you know, Haskins could be, you know, we watched Haskins kind of fade away and disappear in Washington. But you can't forget the fact that he came out as a highly touted quarterback in the draft. A lot of people just said it was the maturity issues that were getting in his way. It wasn't the talent of Haskins. Haskins had a really good preseason for this Steelers team as well. Steelers team. He also had a really good preseason. So I would assume that there are multiple reasons as to why Ben will be super motivated to get through the injury and play this weekend.
Hey Jonas, you've haven't dealt with pec injuries, but you're really good with trying to determine whether someone's ready to play or not.
Yeah.
What would be the testing that the Steelers would do to ensure that Ben Roethlisberger's left pec can go?
I don't know. Take a couple snaps. I don't know how this impacts anything.
Take a couple snaps.
Yeah, I don't like. How does this impact anything? Like the fact that this is even this feels like maybe Ben didn't want to come out and say it. Maybe he went to Mike Tomlin and said, "Hey, you can tell the media, but I'm dealing with this pec issue." Like it just feels like we're already at the point to where he's frustrated, and now we're looking around for.
So you think it's something else?
Well, I just I think that I'm not buying that this is. This catastrophic injury that could be the end of the era for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. This feels more like he's
Let's do this really quick because we have time, fellas.
All right,
here's what we do.
All right,
we rank all the quarterback injuries that are out there right now. Okay, we rank the double sprained ankle with Carson Wentz. We rank the rib injury with Tua.
Okay,
we rank Ben Roethlisberger's pec injury.
Yes.
Okay, Tyrod Taylor's hamstring.
Yes.
We go through them all, fellas.
Okay.
Let's rank all the injuries. What's the worst? What's the least?
All right, so do we need now we have some game show music here. We have a live studio band. No stone unturned here for two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. They are socially distanced, masked on. They have instruments in their hands,
and
they're wearing medical gloves to make sure none of the germs get on any of the instruments. I'm going to go Carson Wentz with the worst injury because when you sprain both ankles, you can't even take a crap without it being uncomfortable. So I'm going to go Carson Wentz with the worst injury of the bunch.
I don't know how serious those ankle injuries are, though.
Well,
are they high double ankle sprains? Is one low? Is one mid? Is one low?
All right.
High ankle sprains are much worse than any other ankle sprain.
I'll go Tyrod Taylor, too. Because it's a hammy, and that could take a long time to heal. Plus, he was playing well, so he gets kind of screwed. I'm going to go Tua with the rib injury 3, because I've heard rib injuries are very painful. I've never had one, but I've heard they're painful. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go Ben Roethlisberger pec injury as the fourth most significant of all the quarterback injuries.
You want to go next, or you want me to take it?
You could take it, LeVar.
I'm going to go with Big Ben as the number one injury this list. And the reason being is that we really are perplexed as to how this could be a serious injury and why it's a serious injury. And so, therefore, it probably is a much more serious injury than what any of us would know. And that's possibly why Mike Tomlin spoke about it. Number two. Is definitely going to have to be Tyrod Taylor's hamstring. Reason being, he's a mobile quarterback. And obviously, having the ability to be able to move around, stick it in the ground, so to speak, be able to deliver those passes downfield. Well, Tyrod can do it. And obviously, he's not going to play. So that's significant. I think the rib injury... is an injury that Tua could possibly play with, obviously, and wants to play, because obviously if he doesn't play, he may never play again. And so I think he's looking at that rib injury as a manageable situation that he has going on. And so, therefore, that's not as serious an injury as it should be.
And you think the double sprained ankles are fourth?
Yeah, I mean, that's easily number four, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, easily number four.
So, I'm going to start off.
Brady, you said he can't move anyway. So, what's two?
That's a great point.
What's two?
How much is it really hindering him?
Yeah.
That's a great point. I'm gonna go with Tyrod Taylor's number one for all the aforementioned reasons, but also because, I mean, look, I think this hurts this team.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
The Texans were competitive with him at starting quarterback. I don't know what to expect with Davis Mills on a short week at home tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll see. But I think it's so punitive to the team that he's not out there. And it goes with the run of unluckiness that he's had. Next up, though, I'm with LeVar. I mean, this pec injury, and I've heard from a rumor, too, that it might be impacting Ben Roethlisberger's drinking hand. He tends to be a left-handed drinker.
Okay.
So the pec might actually hurt that potential. I'm just saying. And then I've got Carson Wentz.
You got to be able to get that water in, you know what I mean?
That's right.
That water bottle intake is serious on game day.
And then I've got Carson Wentz.
Interesting.
And mostly because of the stress that the double ankles have actually put on his body. Rumor has it that there is also some other developments on the back of his neck that Jonas is going to take shots at him on the other side of this. Yeah, so that's going to be an issue.
He needs
that's
shot
going to be a
for
problem.
That neck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
he might be on the neck IR if Jonas has his way.
I mean,
and then Tua's injury is last because, look, it's manageable. It's all about pain management. They can shoot it up. I think he'll still be able to play. So I'll put Tua as the least of all four injuries.
Wow, that is something. I mean, I feel like we've really gotten to the root of everything here. Now, you keep mentioning Carson Wentz's neck. I don't know what you're alluding to, Brady. I'm not quite sure what you're getting at there. Does he have some sort of an acne problem on the back of his neck or something?
Well, I don't know about acne.
Yeah, yeah, cyclops.
You explained it as I don't know if you've ever had some of those pot stickers or Goiza.
That is,
you basically
never be able to eat one again.
Yeah.
As a pork dumpling on the back.
Thank goodness I ate them yesterday. I'll never eat them again.
LeVar's got a weak stomach.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah, LeVar's got
a
weak stomach.
They are good,
can't
but I mean,
them.
It's what it reminds Jonas of.
No, listen, look, I'm not here to pick on anybody. I just think when you bathe, I'm just telling you, like when you're walking through the supermarket and you pass on body wash and you go with WD-40, I think you get what you got coming to you. I'm sorry. So I'm not here to feel
bad.
That
is a good smell, though.
Yeah,
I mean, for the I like the WD-40
smell.
I just don't recommend using that on the back of your neck. Bad things happen.
Gosh,
you know, you end up.
Gosh, WD-40, gasoline. I miss the smell of gasoline.
Yeah, tell me about it. By the way,
rich people problems.
By the way, we are brought to you.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, there's a point of emphasis. I don't know if you've seen this. A point of emphasis in the NFL. Flags are flying. Careful saying that on the air fast. But we have got the yellow penalty flags are out because they are enforcing taunting. Taunting in the NFL. I don't know, LeVar, were you a big taunter? Were you a big celebration guy in the face of somebody you sacked or tackled?
No, I wasn't a taunter.
I mean, and
I was a celebrator. I was more of a trash talker.
Okay.
Yeah, I like talking to you.
Yeah,
like telling you I was going to try to kill you.
Yeah, Bray, that's good.
Stuff like that.
That's good.
I didn't care about your life.
Yeah.
Stuff like just little things.
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
Nothing. It's hard.
I was too busy trying to threaten you rather than to taunt you.
Alvin Mack.
They probably should have focused more on rules that govern what I was doing versus like a guy who was pointing in your face or laughing at you or stepping over you.
Yeah.
Like there were real like threats out there, you know.
So there's been a couple of people that have come to the defense of the taunting penalties that are being enforced because it's clear and obvious that this was made, as we mentioned, a point of emphasis, and they're going to try and enforce this as much as possible. The first of which is Ron Rivera of your former team, LeVar, the Washington football team, talking about why the rule was put into place here this season.
The idea behind the taunting rule is to prevent the bigger things. Okay, we've had this example where one guy taunts a guy, and then the guy comes back for a little payback, and next thing you know, you got a big fight on your hands. You got guys coming from left field hitting each other, you know, and that's really what you're really, to me, I think the referees are really looking for. They're just trying to get it quieted down.
I mean, Brady, it just sounds like he's trying to look out for the well-being of players. I don't know why everybody's got an issue with this, you know.
Ron Rivera has great perspective because he's a coach and he was a player, right? So he understands it. I do feel like sometimes, you know, the old school players feel like the game should be played in a certain manner. And then as coaches, they try to reflect that with some of their comments. The problem is the NFL is a little bit of a crossroads. I think they want to make it fun. They want to make it entertaining. That's part of it. But they also understand the responsibility that they have to the youth and all those out there playing football, that once they see an NFL player taunt and do it and lack sportsmanship, it's going to be every little league, every 7-on-7 league, high school, junior high, they're going to be doing it too. So that's the concern, and I think that's where we're at a crossroads here. The other issue is there a direct correlation with taunting and fighting? I don't know. I mean, I'm not so sure those two things, you know, lead to one another every single time there's taunting. But think about this. Last year, in the entire season, I believe we had 11 taunting penalties. We're already at that number now in the NFL.
Wow.
Through 2 weeks. So clearly they're looking for it. They're looking for a reason to call it. And this is how typically the NFL is operated. Anytime there's an emphasis on a rule or a rule change, they will take the first 6 weeks of a season and they will hammer the players. Yeah. Hammer the players, and then it starts to slowly go away. That's always been their MO for as long as it's been. So, look, I look at it and think this is kind of stupid. It's like a stupid hill to die on. If how many fights ultimately are there?
I totally agree.
Like, not enough to make you think like this is a big, you know, factor in all of it. And again, I don't think there's a direct correlation. I mean, LaVar, you played in the box. Like, you know more than anyone else what causes a fight. Is it truly taunting? Or is it when a guy takes a cheap shot or plays after the whistle or tries to go after your knees or legs or something like that? Is it not?
Yeah, it's more interactive. It's not. I mean, sometimes taunting could be the reason why somebody fights. I mean, it certainly could be. You know, somebody stands over top of you or stands over top of your teammate, the first inclination is to get your teammate out of there, to defend your teammate. And the next thing is by any means necessary. So generally what that means is you're going to knock that dude off of your guy or whatever it may be. And that generally is what leads to it escalating. You know, the way Ron was kind of stating it and listening to your reasoning, I look at it from a couple different perspectives, right? One, you're 100% correct that you are an example to the youth football guys, the high school guys, heck, even the college guys. You're a role model of sorts as to how you do things. I mean, I had my guys that I patterned my game after and tried to be like, and I think we all do. And so you're right. There is a responsibility, a duty to try to be the best version of a professional that you can be, because that, you know, to me is a part of it. But then you have the other side of it where, you know, guys like Charles Barkley have made it very clear. I am not your role model. I'm here to do my job, and how I do my job is how I'm going to do my job. It's up to your parents to raise your kids or whoever raises your kids. And I'm not going to eat somebody's lunch if that's how they feel, because ultimately it does come down to how a parent or how the people that are in these youth and people's lives are raised. Like, don't let somebody else raise your kids. But with that being said, do you lose the relativity of what's going on? We just talked about this off air, Jonas, and this is where I'll address Ron Rivera's, like, oh, you want to quiet it down and you want to monitor and make sure that, you know, fights don't break out from retaliation and stuff like that. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, that throwing a flag isn't going to quiet down if somebody's got a burr for another guy during the course of a game. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I ask myself, what is the NFL disconnected to how current culture, you know, how it operates, how it runs. I was just saying, we're watching the television and seeing these older people who are talking about policy and laws and different things that they have to come up for with solutions for this society and this culture. And seemingly their thought processes are way different than what younger people's thought processes are. Their ability to collect information, their ability to internalize it and interpret it. It's just it's very different. And those are the people that are making the rules in terms of, oh, we want to stop this taunting. This was something that I believe the owners wanted more than anything else. And these are older guys. So to me, it might be a little overblown, if you ask me, in terms of if you're taunting, like it's competition, it's sport. Do you want people to be good sportsmen? Yes. Do you want to see good sportsmanship? Yes. For the people that don't necessarily do that or subscribe to it, they're also a part of the storyline as well. You know, and if it's not totally egregious, like I remember the neck slash, they got rid of the neck slash. Okay. If you're right. saying you're going to kill somebody, that's different. Yes. Right. But if somebody's like staring you down, like I just did you, or if they step over top of you and they're not like lingering, or if they spin the ball in front of you, like, so what? If you don't want them to do that, don't let them do it on you.
And also, call me crazy, but you guys obviously played at the highest level. In football, you're held accountable physically every single play. I think that sort of lessens the amount of actual trash talk and things like that, because you know I can't go to a certain place because I got to answer for my actions every single play. And it just it feels like they're really overthinking this thing, man, like all the way through.
It's so hard to find that one-on-one scenario. Look, if it's a DB, right, versus a wide receiver, maybe a little easier, or offensive line, or running back, linebacker, but still there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of thinking that goes involved in it. It's different in basketball. You can isolate. It's different if it's like a pitcher hitter. He's going to be coming up, you know, that next time at the plate.
Yeah.
So those scenarios, you know, to your point, it's definitely different. I think here's the part that I battle is it's such an emotional game. And we love, and especially in broadcasting, right? Every producer, every director is looking for that reaction. Like, that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes it entertaining to a degree. It wouldn't be the same if guys literally just walked out there, made a great play, turned around, and walked right back to the huddle. Like, there's not that human element to it. And that's the portion of it where, I don't know, of the 11 that have been called so far, maybe half were ultimately justified and the other half are just to prove a point, in my opinion. And again, I think if you're looking for a correlation, because you're right, you know, some of this can lead to a fight. I don't know what percentage it is. You know, is it every 1 in 10, 2 in 10? That's probably the high watermark for me. Like, I don't know that we see that many taunting penalties that ultimately lead to dudes throwing fisticuffs, right, or some brawl breaking out. I think it's hard to do anyway. But ultimately, too, I don't know that it's taunting that leads to that. I think it's more of the physical vulnerability at times or cheap shots that are more often a direct correlation of that.
I mean, it's just purely protecting the brand, right? You're protecting the shield. And I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I mean, do I feel like it's excessive? If I were a decision maker, if I'm looking at the bottom line and if I feel that it's going to impact my bottom line and my viewership, like, is this family friendly? Then maybe I do it just based off of just feeling that it's going to impact my bottom line by doing X. But if I'm just looking at it purely from the state of competition, these are grown ass men. These aren't children. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. these aren't prep school guys. These are grown ass men that are competing against one another. And to me, that's all part of, like, this is a show. Like, for those who may not understand this, let me put you up on a little bit of game here. It is a show. It is a production. It's no different than what we're doing right now. We're putting on a show. We are entertaining you with our words and with our stories and with our knowledge. The same thing goes for any other sport, for a pro sport, for any sport at that matter. You are putting on a show. Now, yes, it is a place for those young people or pros to compete, but it's a reality television show. It's very much unscripted on what's going on the field in terms of what the outcome will be, but it's very much scripted and produced and handled the same exact way any other television show would be produced. And so anything that's going to make this television show a better show for its consumer and that market, then that's what decision you're going to make for what's taking place on the field. You want to ultimately put the best product in front of your viewership as you possibly can so that you can keep the money coming in for what you're being paid for by advertisers and marketers. Like, that's ultimately what this comes down to. It's not about, is it good sportsmanship? It's not about making sure it's good for the youth and being an example. If we're cutting it down, cutting away all of the fat, peeling away the layers from the onion. At the bare center of all of this is the bottom line they feel is impacted if they do X, and X being, let's stop the taunting. That's bottom line.
Well, they're full of crap. That's the way I see it. I mean, God,
it's football.
And to Brady's point, this is going to die down later in the season, just like all this stuff. You remember a few years ago when the big thing was, if we catch anybody black or white using a racial slur on the field, they're going to get penalized? Remember that was like a big, and a couple of guys got popped for it, and it's never happened since. It's almost as if the NFL officials are like, all right, we got to hit a certain amount of penalty to make it seem like we're enforcing this, almost like you tell, you know, somebody, a cop, hey, you got to write a certain number of tickets this month. You're not as active as you used to be. And he goes out one weekend and he writes all these tickets and then he lets everybody slide the rest of the month. This feels like this is going to die down later in the year. I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem.
Relevant. Whatever's relevant, yeah, right? Like, I mean, if there's domestic violence, you're going to see domestic violence.
Yes.
100%. You know, campaigns.
Yes.
Whatever the campaign calls for to address the general public as it applies to you and painting you in a positive light, that's what they're going to do. And they should. I mean, be clear. Like, whether you like it or not, they should do that, because that's a part of building and growing healthy, strong, successful business, is by paying attention to what your clientele is looking for, so, and trying to expand.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I believe that Brady Quinn is the definition of an AFC North quarterback. All right, here's why. Would you say that you're a meathead, Brady Quinn?
Jeez.
I'm just asking the question.
I mean, not as big of one as I used to be, okay, but yes, I still check that box.
All right. I noticed a couple of things in the AFC North this weekend. All right, after throwing interceptions, well, first of all, Baker Mayfield hurt himself. Now, there's no significant injury there. Baker Mayfield's going to be fine. I think the tests were negative, if I'm not mistaken. So Baker's going to be fine. He was trying to make a tackle following an interception. Joe Burrow also on his knee tried to chase down Roquan Smith to try and make a tackle on an interception, which reminds me of Brady Quinn, who tried to make a tackle on an interception. And I believe you pissed off the entire Baltimore Ravens fan base, if I'm not mistaken, because
yes,
you might have gone low.
There's some truth to that. I wasn't necessarily even trying to tackle the ball carrier. I was just trying to take out the convoy that was leading him to the end zone.
Do you want to describe the story?
I think I tackled Ray Lewis on the sideline once. I threw an interception to was it Chris McAllister? They got me on the coverage. They acted like they were rolling back to one high look, but then after I came off of looking at the free safety, he then spun back to the half of the field. They end up playing like a soft cover two on that side, I mean, Braylon Edwards, who was the wide receiver, he still ran the route too. Technically, he should have adjusted his route. But
good,
when I threw it,
you.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, it was a good disguise. Like, we were both like, oh, okay, like that's not what we thought it was. But McAllister picked it off. I think he pitched it to Ray, because I just remember going to cover down, and like the worst thing is throwing a pick six. It's the worst thing in the world. You at least want to give your defense a chance to get out there and get you a stop, and not, you know, not only put them, because even though people think like throwing a pick and you're putting them like in the red zone or something, it's a tough spot to be in. What's worse is when they have to go back out there in a couple series, because you're coming back on the field and you're not giving them any momentum. Like, you're not helping them at all, and you just let them put up points on you. So I always try to cover down. And I think McAllister pitched it to Ray Lewis, and I didn't even remember who I tackled at the time. I was so ticked off of myself, and literally on the sideline, like, just tried to go right at his thigh boards. Like, just probably launched. It was probably, like, the worst tackle ever, but I ended up getting up. I didn't realize who it was until the next day looking at a film. I was like, oh, all right.
Who's so Ray?
Now, yeah. What about Terrell Suggs? What happened with Terrell Suggs? Any stories with Terrell Suggs by any chance?
Well, like I said, it wasn't intentional. I was literally running around. It was a tip pick. I threw a slant, hit off Mike Furry's chest. I can't remember who got it, but Suggs, like, I didn't see Suggs. He clearly must have seen, I've seen me. I was going and diving at the ball carrier, but then he was right there. As soon as I came on a right tackle, who I think was John St. Clair, which, by the way, that guy was massive.
Yes. Yeah.
John St. Clair was one of the biggest players I've ever played with. He was like 6'6", 340 pounds, 50 pounds. And as I came around the corner, I just remember trying to dive to go tackle, which, I mean, at that case, as a quarterback, even though I played defense a long time ago, my eyes were probably closed, no idea what I was doing. But I literally, like, went right into Terrell Suggs, who was, like, coming around John St. Clair. And it was like kind of a bang-bang quick play, but it obviously hurt Terrell's knee, which I felt terrible about, got fined for and all that. Didn't even try to appeal it because I was just like, there's no point. I feel awful about this. But, yeah, that did not go over well with the Baltimore Ravens team.
Yeah, I have some quotes from the Baltimore Ravens team.
Of course you do.
Well, I'm just saying, look, I wanted to do enough research here for this segment. You know, they call me Show Prep Jesus for a reason.
By the way, hey, you know what this is, LeVar? This is payback for me spoiling this tease.
There's no payback. No, this is not, because they
I was
two,
wondering what your agenda
it
was.
It does seem just, like it's come out of left
field. Well, no,
this
I mean,
is
I noticed when Baker Mayfield got hurt, it sparks some memories of Brady Quinn being so pissed off at an interception that he's decided to violently try and ruin an entire franchise. So I just think that that's right. And you've always said Brady's a linebacker who plays quarterback, correct?
Did, yes.
Yeah. He will take your
at
head
the
off.
Least the safety.
Yeah. Oh, he will rip your head off. Yeah. And do just enough harm to cause your franchise to go in a tailspin. But Ray Lewis, after the hit on Terrell Suggs by Brady Quinn, this from November of 2009. Quote, "That's an illegal blow. I don't care how you look at it. When you're running down and you're looking at the quarterback going at somebody's knees who doesn't even have the ball, I want to see if he gets the same fine I got or even higher." Now, did you get the same fine for that hit, Brady Quinn, that Ray Lewis would have gotten?
I have no idea. I think I got fined $10,000 for it.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I did not appeal it because, one.
Oh, you did say that. You did say that. Wow. Yeah.
I got fined $10,000 for that.
No.
So, and look, when and on film, it looked terrible because you're looking from the eye in the sky and you're thinking, well, he should be able to see, you know, it looks dirty. And I was like, dude, I can't see past my right tackle. And honestly, the more I thought about it, I was like, let's just say I would have ran around my right tackle to try to make that play.
You would have got
Suggs obliterated. Suggs would have blown me up.
Yeah.
He would have obliterated me because I didn't see him coming. So the whole thing was, again, I understand their point of view, but that was not the intent by any
self-preservation means. At that moment.
Would you
for
like
sure.
Would you like to hear some quotes from Brady Quinn himself?
Yeah,
back from 2009, back when he didn't know who the hell I was. He knew who LeVar was. He had no idea who I was. I believe I was probably bussing tables at that point. Actually, I think I was doing radio in Charleston, South Carolina at the time. I mean, talk about worlds colliding here. But here we are. These are the quotes from Brady Quinn after the play. And we've got a little studio band here to go ahead and join us here as we say these quotes.
That's perfect.
This is... quote, "I was trying to go for the ball carrier," Quinn said.
I was trying to go for the ball carrier.
I was trying to make the tackle on Chris Carr.
I was trying to make the tackle on Chris Carr.
I would never wish that upon anyone.
I needed Irish must.
I was upset about it on the field.
I needed some Guinness.
He was somebody I worked out in Arizona with.
I worked out with them.
I will be praying for him.
I drank with them.
Again, we are sorry about that.
Hey, mate. I mean, wait. That's Australia. That's Australia.
What do you think he's from?
I'm so sorry.
Sydney?
I'm so sorry. I went somewhere different.
More from Quinn. Again, we are sorry about that. That was never the intent. I'm sorry to Terrell and the rest of their team. I apologize to the team as much as I could. I talked to Terrell as well, but he was in pain at that point in time, and I don't know if he even heard me. So there's that.
I mean, look. I felt awful about it. Literally, as soon as I hit him, and I kind of came to what happened, I was like, oh geez, like I felt terrible. You could go back and watch the replay. It was on Monday Night Football. So
how many times did you play against him after that game?
That was the second time that season.
Oh, so you had some time for it to kind of die down then.
Yeah, I just remember the rest of the game. I think it was Jarrett Johnson was like one of their DNs. He just kept taking cheap shot after cheap shot towards the end. And it was like I think we lost 20-0, whatever it was. I mean, they were a really good football team that year, and we were not. But I just remember the rest of that game. He was talking trash the whole time, and I was just like, I, there's nothing you can say at that point because it wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying to. But they were clearly ticked off about it. But like I said, like I don't know what you want me to do at that point.
Okay, but if you would have thrown a pick – and Terrell Suggs saw you not looking, he would have taken you out, correct?
Not legally, we're not allowed to do that.
I think back then, though, if you go after the football, you can.
Then you can get him.
Which in is 09, what I was doing.
Yeah, in 09, if he was going for the ball, you'd definitely wipe him out.
Because you would look for quarterbacks.
Oh,
on the
I would have wiped Brady's ass smooth out.
And that's the thing is people don't realize – I always – like what's the difference between college and NFL? One of the differences is these dudes on defense are trained killers. Like I'm not even exaggerating. Like I always laugh because like when I watch people gang tackle in college, you're like – after playing in the NFL, you're like, just punch the ball out. Just punch it out. Like right. The first guy stands him up. The second guy comes in and tries to rip out the ball. And even the way you rush, like the way LeVar would blitz or the way guys would rush – when they're rushing a quarterback, like they're trying to get the ball and like, well, at least it used to be, inflict pain at the same time.
Yes.
Like, and they could do both.
And sometimes I wanted the pain instead of the ball. Like
exactly. Because the pain the ball comes.
Well, I'd sacrifice trying to strip the ball to hit you harder.
Like exactly. Sometimes
that was my thing.
Yeah, but if you knock the ball out, it counts as a sack. Sometimes
it was just a thing to hit the person as hard as you could.
Like
you're not
up.
Even allowed to do those things. Like, who was that got the roughing the passer and he tried? It was Chase Young.
Oh yeah, right.
He almost tried.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what do you want the guy to do?
Do you want him
to tackle him and then like what? You have to be more athletic to not hurt somebody or get a flag than ever before. Like I have no idea what they want these guys to do in those moments. And those moments for me, in fact, in our day, you got 1.5 to 2 steps after they release the ball. So if I'm close enough to you with 1.5 to 2 steps, I am lacing you up. Lacing you up. Now you can't even hit them. If that ball is coming out, you can't hit them.
They went the opposite of the NBA. You know, it used to be like 1.5 steps, and then that was like the Euro step. Now they like dudes take like 3 steps to go to the hoop. Yeah, they went the opposite. Now like defenders get no steps in when hitting a quarterback, which it would have been a great time to come into the league now. Wide receivers are protected. You're protected as a quarterback. Like, I mean, look, Tom Brady said it. I mean, whether he's saying the league is getting softer with their rules or the way it's protecting certain players, it puts defenders at risk, but it also makes their job so much harder. And it takes away kind of from that part of the game where, look, as a quarterback, you know, you could say that throw is inaccurate. A lot of times I'm naturally throwing away from the defender because I don't want my guy to get hit. Mm-hmm. In today's NFL, quarterbacks hang out wide receivers all the time because they know they're protected. They know these Crazy. Defenders. They know LaVar's not going to hit them the way he once could.
Yeah, I remember Kurt Warner said this after he threw a pass to Anquan Boldin in the end zone, and Anquan Boldin got absolutely disintegrated and was out on the field. I think he had like a broken jaw because Kurt Warner ended up airing him out. And Kurt Warner said afterwards, like, he didn't want to play football anymore.
It's the worst feeling.
Like
it is the worst.
He said he felt so bad seeing him because they had to remove his face mask. They had to, like, it was bad. It was a bad scene. He was out cold. And Kurt Warner said he really did not want to play anymore after that. He felt so terrible.
You know, it's crazy. I never had a hit like that ever. Ever.
Well, thank God.
And I've put people to sleep.
Yes.
Like, sleep.
Yeah.
But I never looked at him and was like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have hit him like that.
I'm terrified.
Sorry, I'm just having,
no, I love
I'm just
that.
Having a real
hey,
moment.
But
terrified.
This is what I'm telling you, though. That's what's on the other side of the football. Like,
yes.
People think out there, you're listening right now, think this is all fun and games. It is not.
Did y'all notice how I didn't laugh when I – or any? You notice how I joke a whole lot, but I wasn't joking right here
and
now?
LaVar started shaving like that guy off the Predator, and his face started bleeding,
Absolutely.
And he didn't realize
Look, you know how we talk about these rookie quarterbacks, and we're like, oh, you know, you need to be careful putting out that too early, make sure they know what they're doing. This is an example of that.
Yes.
Because this is how you know these guys think. There's no remorse.
No.
They're trying to take their head off.
Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You already talked about that, but there's just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their new unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.